Welcome to the Conference Committee on Commerce and Consumer Protection for Senate File 2744. Committee is in order. Representative Stevens.
Mr. Chair, I will have a series of motions. Before getting to that, I just did want to let the committee know what's going on with something that won't be in the motions. There is a provision in the House language, and I was trying to see if I could spot it to make reference of where it's at, but
it's in the appropriations.
Oh, it's in the appropriations. So it's in Article 1, and it is a study that MCHA was asked to do on the reinsurance program. We received a letter from MCHA after passage in the House with a variety of concerns about having MCHA perform this study, including that they feel like conducting that study is beyond their statutory authority, there's a host of other concerns here that I won't get into, but they raise four or five bullet points worth of with paragraphs underneath explaining why they don't think that they should be the ones doing the study. I had a really good conversation with Commissioner Arnold, who's going to be sending a letter with information about how we can get the information that the study looks at. So that's how we're going to resolve that, and that's why it won't be in the report. And we will provide the letter from MCHA to members of the conference committee. And with that, I do have some motions, Mr. Chair.
Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Article 1 on the House side. This is the appropriations article. I move its adoption in its entirety.
Discussion on the motion. All those in favor, aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Article 2 on the House side, Section 1. This is classification of insurance filings data related to the Fortified Homes Program. We adopted the balance of the Fortified Homes Program a couple days ago, inadvertently left this out.
Discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Article 2, House side, Section 2. This is the Family Protection Act, otherwise known as the Boat Bill. I will note that there will be an amendment, the A23, that I'll offer after all of these motions I'm about to make that make some modifications.
Discussion on that. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Article 2 on the House side, Sections 7 through 15 and Section 67. This relates to Medicare supplemental policies. And again, I believe this is modified by the A23 amendment.
Discussion? All in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Article 2 on the Senate side, Section 34, which relates to clinician-administered drugs, otherwise known as whitebagging.
Discussion on that motion. Seeing none, all in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Article 2 on the House side, Section 63. This relates to managed care contracts.
Discussion on that motion? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move on Article 3 on the House side adoption of Sections 3 through 10, 13, and 61. This relates to consumer small and short-term loans, otherwise known as payday lending.
Discussion on that motion?
Mr. Chair, I have an amendment on this. I don't know if it now would be an appropriate time to offer the amendment.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Stevenson.
If Senator Rasmussen is so inclined, it might be good to get through all of these motions, do the A23 amendment, and then consider those amendments.
No further discussion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move Article 3 on the House side, Sections 1 through 12 for adoption. This is, 11 through 12. This is the Climate Risk Disclosure Survey.
Discussion? All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Article 4 on the House side, Section 15. This is the digital fare repair language.
And again, members,
will be coming.
Discussion on that. All in favor, say aye.
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 Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I move adoption of Article 4 on the House side, Sections 7, 19 through and 20. This is the deceptive trade practices language.
Mr. Chair, would Representative Stevenson be able to repeat that?
Yes. Mr. Chair,
Representative Stevenson.
Article 4 on the House side, Sections 7, 19, and 20. This is the deceptive trade practices, the unfair contracts language.
Discussion on the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
All right. Mr. Chair, we adopted Article 3 on the Senate side, Sections 50 through 51 in our last session, but a further discussion, want to instead take the approach in Article 3 on the House side, Section 75. This is related to repealing of some rules. So I will first move that we unadopt Article 3 on the Senate side, Sections 50 through 51, which were adopted on Wednesday.
People understand the motion. All in favor say aye.
Aye. Aye.
Opposed? Representative Stevenson.
And now I will move adoption of Article 3 on the House side, Section 75.
All in favor say aye.
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Motion is adopted. Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, at this time I will move the A23 amendment.
Representative Stephen moves the A23 amendment.
And I will just note that members should be careful to see if there's a page number on the bottom of your amendment page, because there was a copy in packets that was inadvertently truncated. So you want the version that has page numbers on the bottom. This page makes a series of technical changes to the appropriations article on the first page. It makes two changes to the Family Protection Act or boat bill policy. Those are at the top of page 2. It changes the effective date on the Medigap language from 2024 to 2025. There's language at the bottom of page 2 which bars the Prescription Drug Affordability Board from using cost-effective analysis such as a quality-adjusted life year or a similar measure. And then there's some effective date changes on page 3. There's some changes to the digital fare repair bill on the bottom of page 3 and at the top of page 4 that are intended to protect cybersecurity and critical infrastructure. We also changed the retroactivity of that provision from 2017 to 2021. And then the last, well, not the last, I guess. The next section includes the House language, which passed as a standalone bill on price gouging with some modifications. These are just some tech. Oh, and then the last section here on page 6 is reflects some feedback from the Bar Association on the provisions relating to homeowners associations.
Questions on the?
Yeah. Mr. Chair, I had one question.
Senator Rasmussen.
One question for Representative Stevenson on the A23. For the House price gouging language that's included here starting at line 4.6, is this the same language that passed off the floor? Have there been any changes that are made?
Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, Senator Rasmussen, it is the language that has passed off the floor with two differences. The first you can see in its entirety in Subdivision 5, Prices and Rates. This is what we've been calling the storm chaser language, and it allows for the Attorney General to enforce price gouging against contractors who increase labor prices after a severe weather occurrence. Slightly different mechanism than the rest of the price gouging statute. The other change is an addition to the definition of essential consumer good or service. If you look at line 4.12, it says construction materials. That was not in the language that passed off the House floor. And that's, again, trying to get at the same issue of storm chasing, but we thought the materials were better suited for the rest of the price gouging mechanism, which involves exceptions for increases in commodities and upstream price increases. So that's why the materials fall into the traditional price gouging. The labor is, which isn't impacted by commodities prices, for example, is in its standalone section.
Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and thank you, Representative Stevenson. And it's my understanding in this language in the A23, as a part of the price gouging, there isn't a private right of action for any of this language. And Mr. Chair, if Representative Stevenson could confirm that, that'd be appreciated.
Representative Stevenson.
That's correct.
Thank you. Further discussion? Senator, Representative Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And to the question on labor pricing, there's also a supply and demand that I just want Representative Stevenson or yourself to explain to us the methodology on this. So if you are a contractor, and it's going to be a very busy spring talking to the folks that I know in the construction industry, and there's just a normal workflow, and then you have an unforeseen, unscheduled event, the weather event, the, you know, the storms, whatever the case may be, and persons may want to go and negotiate to get some of those kind of projects done, and they may be willing to pay more for the labor. How is that going to be addressed in the bill, where you have the normal market flow and now you have more work than the market bears, and people are willing to pay up as consumers on that? Are they going to, as the providers of that labor, be considered in a price gouging situation because someone wants to pay more to get a preferential spot on a construction list because of the normal workflow and the additional work that's in the marketplace? Because labor, as we know, this entire session has been limited, and we're seeing shortages, and people may want to, for whatever reason, pay more for that to get a better or more timely addressing their needs in a construction or a rehab project. Either of you can speak to what your thoughts and logic are behind that and how that situation could present itself. So you're going to see that one pretty quick, I think.
I can speak to it, but then Representative Stevenson, I think it's his bill, so he can speak to it as well. But I would point out that the language for price gouging is limited to declaration of state emergency. So the fluctuations in seasonal labor that you're describing that occur frequently would not really be relevant to this bill that we're discussing today. But Representative Stevenson.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Representative O'Driscoll, I would note a few things. One, this is language that was brought forward by the Insurance Federation, and I encourage you to speak with them about your concerns as well. Number two, I would note that the way this works is it's an enforcement action brought by the Attorney General. If you have a willing buyer, willing seller, everyone's happy. I don't know that anyone's complaining to the Attorney General. And what we're really trying to avoid here is price gouging of insurance companies, where the fee that's being charged is not in accordance with the work that's being done that increases everybody's rates. The third thing I would point out is that the language in price gouging is, as you are aware, heavily tailored. The definition of unconscionably excessive price has a number of different criteria, which is what's referenced in the prices and rates section that you're talking about here. There's a very specific set of circumstances.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And again, I just want to make sure that we are clear, because we've gone through and really haven't talked about the specifics on some of these, what the amendments were, and I just want to make sure that we have legislative intent, that we don't have a problem if, as you pointed out, Representative Stevenson, we have a willing buyer and a willing seller in the marketplace to be able to do this, that that's not going to be scooped up into something that's unintended. So thank you for the clarification.
Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I just wanted to say, you know, there's some stuff in this conference committee report that I like and some things that I don't like, but I do just really want to thank you and Chair Stevenson for having an open dialogue on a lot of these issues. And I know a lot of those changes and conversations that we've had and with stakeholders are reflected in the A23, and so I just appreciate that as these bills have moved through the process, you've been willing to take feedback. We haven't always agreed on everything, but I appreciate the conversations and some of the changes that are being made in the A23.
Further discussion? Well, and Senator Rasmussen, let me say the feeling is mutual. You've been a friendly participant in this process and have improved the legislation at every stage of the game. And with that, I think you had a couple of amendments that you wanted to offer.
Oh, yeah,
sorry. So any further discussion on the A23? All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed? A23 is adopted. Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I would offer the A34 amendment and happy to describe it. I think we have copies of it as well.
Yeah, that one last. I don't have the 834.
834 is being distributed. Go ahead, Senator Rasmussen, and let us know.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So the A34 would address the climate risk disclosure that this bill will be adding on to our state chartered banks. And I think myself and a number of folks here, and I know the Department of Commerce is very proud of our state chartered banks, and that we get banks that will decide to, instead of being nationally chartered, to charter with the state and to have the Department of Commerce as one of their regulators. And I know our goal of this program is to provide a competitive advantage to those banks in the marketplace. I'm concerned with the language that we have adopted currently in the Conference Committee report would put a new requirement, a new mandate on just a handful of banks that have, I think, more than $1 billion in assets here in the state of Minnesota, and that we could be creating a disincentive for those banks to maintain their state chartered status. So the amendment that I have before the committee today, the A34, would allow this infrastructure to continue, and it would actually open it up to all state chartered financial institutions, but it would make it optional. And one of the piece of information I've heard from proponents of this is that it could offer a competitive advantage in the marketplace to say that, you know, they've gone through a climate risk evaluation of some sort. And so my idea here with the A34 is make it optional. Let's see if we have state chartered banks that sign up, go through this process, and as we learn more, we can always look at requiring it at a future date.
Very good, and I think this is House language. I'll have Representative Stevenson respond to your amendment. Representative Stevenson.
Well, thank you, Mr. Chair. Thank you, Senator Rasmussen. I'll be asking members to vote no on the A34 amendment. I would note a few things. One, the House language already does incorporate a compromise from the original as introduced language, raising the threshold from 500 million to a billion in terms of assets. So there has been some compromise work done here. I would also note that these types of climate risk disclosures have been done by our friends in the insurance industry at the requirement of the Department of Commerce for over a decade. And so and they're not optional, they are mandatory. And so the purpose of this language is to extend that good work from the insurance industry into other financial services, including our banks and credit unions. And I do think it should be a mandatory requirement. I don't believe it will be onerous enough to cause anyone to switch from being a state chartered institution to a federal chartered institution. You know, I know that there's been some questions that have been raised about what the department's going to do and how they're going to do it. I think we have a very good record at the Department of Commerce, particularly on the banking side of the world, of engaging stakeholders and working cooperatively, and I expect that's what will happen here. And I think when we come back in 2024, we'll hear that it all worked out very well. So I would ask for a no vote on the A34.
Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and Senator Rasmussen, thank you for bringing this amendment forward. We heard this in Commerce, and I just want to again underscore my comments from our conversations in the House here in the Conference Committee. I'm disappointed that we're going to be putting this mandate, or appears to be putting this mandate. We haven't taken the vote yet, but I'm pretty sure I know how this one's going to turn out. But it's $1 billion. The federal law is $100 billion. So we're at 1% of what the federal regulation is. And I would agree that this particular regulation and requirement that's being placed on our state charter banks is not going to be the straw. It is a straw that's now getting that could be among other straws that could get there, that could break the camel's back and cause our financial institutions to want to recharter under a federal charter. Again, this was not something that the department brought forward. This is something that when asked, the department said, this isn't our bill. What are you going to do with the information? We don't know. Is it going to be available to the public? Yeah, somebody's got to know that it's there and to be able to ask for it. There's even a form that we're putting together for a report. We're just looking for something. And from a competitive advantage, Representative Rasmussen, you are exactly right. If you want to carve yourself out in the industry and you want to go after a certain customer base, you would do those kinds of things and you promote the fact that you're doing those kinds of things if you want to be seen or viewed differently in the marketplace than your competitors. And I think that the compromise that you're offering still gets to where we both want to be. When I say we, the industry, yeah, they're going to have to can do that if they want to and still allows this to happen versus a mandate on the industry. It just is, problem looking for a solution. No, it's a solution looking for a problem. It just doesn't work out in my book. So I will be a no vote on on this and encourage others to do the same. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion on the 823. All in favor, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Nay.
No.
Motion is.
Mr. Chair, it's not the 823, it's the 833.
Sorry. Correction. I'll take the vote again. All in favor of the A34 amendment, say aye.
Aye.
Opposed? Say
no.
Nay. No. Motion is, amendment is not adopted. Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And I also have an additional amendment, the A41, so I'd like to offer that at this time.
Senator Rasmussen offers the A41 amendment. Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. And this amendment is regarding to the House provision on consumer small and short-term loans. And this was a bill that we had a discussion on in the Senate, and we did not have in our Senate bill that we passed off the floor. And one of the, the starting points that I come at this issue with is that I hope that there are good, strong alternatives to payday lending, and I am excited to see those emerging in the marketplace. One of the concerns that I have is that there still is a demand for these short-term consumer loans, and that's why we see consumers using them today. And I worry that with the language in the House that we're effectively taking away that option for Minnesota consumers. And in our committee, we had heard from some of those Minnesotans with their concerns about losing this as a potential option and what other alternatives they could have. And so this A41 amendment, I think, is a compromise. It's a step in the right direction, and there's a couple features on it. One is that it would put into place a interest rate cap for loans that are less than $400. There would be per dollar, there'd be a 6 cent fee for a 2 week loan. For loans that are above $400, it'd be 7.5% for that 2 week period would be capped at. And then additionally, Mr. Chair, they're one of the more compelling stories that we had heard in committee about issues that I think we have with these short-term consumer loans are individuals who get stuck in this debt spiral where they're taking them out for months and months and months and rolling it over to the point where the interest that they're paying is bigger than the principal of the initial loan they pulled out. And so in this amendment, we have a loan cap at 6 per year. Which it's my understanding is about the average of the industry on a consumer basis. And so for those consumers that are borrowing more than 6 times per year, which for context would be 12 weeks out of 52 weeks, that would no longer be prohibited. So we'd be taking away an incentive for these providers to catch people in these long-term debt cycles, but would still allow a Minnesotan who needs access to these short-term loans, doesn't have an alternative, doesn't have a family member to go to be able to access that for when their car breaks down or when they're having issues. I think this is a reasonable compromise that puts in guardrails that we currently don't have in state law as we continue to see how these emerging alternatives to these short-term consumer loans evolve.
Discussion on the A41.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, I ask members to vote no on the A41. Amendment. I appreciate Senator Rasmussen, who's been trying to kind of reach some sort of compromise on this issue, but this is not, I don't believe this is a compromise. Couple of thoughts on this. Number one, I'm not a math guy. Senator Rasmussen might be able to do this better than I can, but by my calculation, 6% over 2 weeks works out to about 156 APR. 7.5 works out to 195%. Now, I did that on my calculator, and like I said, I'm a lawyer, so that's probably not entirely accurate. The point that I want to make, though, is that if you do translate it into APR, you are going to be well in excess of 100% and up to 200% on the loan. The language that's in the bill is at 36%. So It's my understanding that these are basically the rates at which consumer lenders are offering products in the state today. So what this does on the rate cap side of this is just say, lenders, what you're doing now, you're allowed to do. And we're going to legally bless the practice of payday lending in Minnesota with this language. The loan cap is a solution that people have talked about with regard to payday lending in past years, but six is too many, number one. And number two, it's not even a cap of six, really, because it's applied to the lender and not the consumer, which means that I could get six loans from one lender, turn around and get six loans from the next lender, turn around and get six loans from the next lender, and still be in that debt spiral. So I don't believe that this solves the problem, and I think we need the language that's in the bill. I'd ask for a no vote.
Further discussion? Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and to the A41 amendment. The dollar amounts that we were talking about are smaller amounts. If you were to sit across the table from a lender and you were borrowing $250,000, the paycheck that that person and the benefit package that that person who's processing and taking that loan application is going to be the same as if they were sitting across a table for someone $350. So there are some efficiencies that happen when the loans are larger. What's going to happen if these loans go away, they're going to go away from the public eye. They're going to be going into a less regulated market between individuals who will be involved in doing these kinds of things with other individuals that will be, again, away from the public eye. They're not going away. They're just going to take a different form. That's just what we know will happen in this marketplace when a product is demanded and it's no longer available. It still is going to be demanded and it's still going to be available, again, away from the public eye on this. So as a result of a no vote on this, you're just moving it from the public in a regulated area to an unregulated area. And if that's the goal, then that's what we're going to end up with. Again, the APR becomes rather large because you're talking about smaller amounts. These are businesses that still are going to have overhead that they have to cover. And with what's happening in the legislature right now, there's going to be potentially more overhead for those businesses to have to pony up for safe and sick time, for family medical leave, for other things that are being contemplated by this legislature. They've got to make their money somehow in a business to be able to do this. And when they're catering to a small number of people, or I should say the small dollar amount for people on this, those costs have to be built in for that business to be able to meet their other state mandated requirements that are going to be put forward and to cover their costs of doing business. So that looks like a big number when you put it that way, but it's also the cost of doing business, because that individual who's there making that loan is the one who's going to still have to be receiving a paycheck, and that employer is now going to be asked to cover additional mandates that are being contemplated by this legislature. So a yes vote would be in order, I think, if you want to keep this in the public eye and not have it go to an unregulated market, because it's going to go there. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
Further discussion? Representative Cortese-Witun.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just two quick things. I think as Chair Stevenson had mentioned in his initial response, it's my understanding, based on the testimony that we had heard in the House Commerce Committee on a bill, that there are loans available from large-scale financial institutions at lower percentage rates currently than this. These shorter-term loans, something that is beginning to be offered in the marketplace in response to some of these predatory loan practices. And I also just want to take issue with what Representative O'Driscoll mentioned in terms of businesses who are going to have to make their money some way in order to take care of their employees in a way that the legislature might be moving forward on. And the way to do that would be predatory lending practices. I don't know if that was the intention, but that was the way I was understanding it. And it was, I thought that was really odd.
Well, thank you. Senator, Representative O'Driscoll.
Well, as the vice chair of the Commerce Committee, you know, was saying what she heard, allow me the opportunity to clarify. I am saying that this is the issue of the APR and the large number. Because of the small amount of these loans, that's going to be a large number. You've called them predatory loans. People are certainly stepping up and finding this to be valuable. I know that every district in the state has a pretty close to every legislative district has one of these within driving distance to be able to help people with their needs on here. My point of clarifying is that if you take these loans away, they're still going to be there. And the cost in the APR that you're looking at is there's just a certain amount of fixed costs you have to have in order to run a business. And when you're in these smaller amounts like this, you can't say, well, we're going to pay you 20 cents an hour for doing this $350 loan. You still are going to pay that person their wages and their benefits as the employer. And my comment to that, that benefit set is going to probably end up growing based on legislation that's being contemplated here in the legislature in other bills. But again, those are costs of doing business.
Further discussion, Senator Rasmussen.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I appreciate the conversation on this today. And I guess I come to the Commerce Committee with a lot of respect for Minnesotans, and especially Minnesota consumers, and I think they're smart. And I hope that there continue to become growing alternatives to payday lending, to these short-term consumer loans. And I think if those opportunities and those options were available, that Minnesotans would be using them today and there wouldn't be demand for these types of services. I have concern, you know, will this lead individuals to have to sell plasma or do other things like that, because we've literally taken away an alternative for financing for when their car breaks down and they need to get a fix before the next paycheck. And I know the numbers always are big when you annualize out the interest rate, but let's talk about what if the A41 were adopted, the amendment I'm offering, for a $300 two-week consumer loan, they would be capped at charging $18, and that would be all-inclusive in the amendment of all interest, finance charges, and fees. So that's all included for a two-week loan to get $300. And so I just want to put that in context. And the cap that we're talking about of having six consumer loans is reasonable. I agree that you could have consumers that are going to multiple providers to get around that cap, but we're no longer creating an incentive for an individual lender to trap someone in these debt spirals that we had talked about. And again, that goes to be 12 weeks out of 52 weeks in a year. And then the other thing that I failed to mention when introducing the A41 is that we've also included a 50 cent per short-term loan basically fee that the lenders would pay to send to the Department of Commerce, and this would be used for debt relief programs and consumer financial literacy educational efforts. I know we've had conversations around that in our committee, and I believe we have appropriations in this bill for that, so that would continue to hopefully fund a solution to the issues that we're talking about here today. So I'd ask for member support of the A41. I think it moves Minnesota forward while having this as an option for Minnesotans who need it.
Thank you, Senator Rasmussen. I'm going to join the members over here in urging a no vote on the A41. I do want to say I appreciate the provision that would allot 50 cents per loan to programs such as Exodus, which we have funded elsewhere in this omnibus, and I think that's a legitimate idea going forward. I do think that limiting to six loans a year, especially when a person could solicit numerous different payday lenders, is not a legitimate barrier of any kind at all. And I remain concerned about the very high annualized percentage rate of the loans. I would say that since this was represented in committee to us as being a hundreds of millions dollars industry at the current time, and it's my feeling, as with Representative Cotiza Watoon, that legitimate financial institutions will take on these loans if it is in that sort of demand, and that is the kind of thing that would be safe and protective for Minnesotans. So I would urge a no vote on the A41. Further discussion? All in favor of the A41 say aye.
Aye.
Opposed say nay.
Nay.
No.
The amendment is not adopted.
Mr. Chair.
Representative Stevens.
Mr. Chair, I would move that nonpartisan staff be authorized to make technical corrections reflecting the will of the committee.
Discussion. All in favor say aye.
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 Opposed. Motion is adopted. Further business before the committee. Any discussion? Representative O'Driscoll.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. Just a couple of procedural questions. I'm assuming that the plan is to wrap the conference committee and adopt the conference committee report. Is that the next step that you're looking at?
Representative Stevenson.
Mr. Chair, Representative O'Driscoll, I think that nonpartisan staff, after that last motion, will be assembling a conference report pursuant to the adoptions we've made today, and at some future date it will be made available for signature after it's been assembled and made sure to be correct pursuant to that last motion.
Mr. Chair. So you're not anticipating any additional meetings of this conference committee?
Representative O'Driscoll, not at this time. Representative O'Driscoll.
I'm just laughing because of the comment that Representative Stevenson made earlier that he's an attorney, and that sounded like an attorney answer. So.
Why would you say something so mean?
Mr. Chair,
to the good doctor. That is
my last opportunity.
Very collegial.
To have some fun.
All right.
Further discussion. There's no further business for the committee. We are adjourned.